Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
My baseball team is the Sox and my basketball team is the Celtics.
Wait, which Sox? Which color Sox?
Oh, is there another one? Is there any other? It's the Red Sox.
Oh, right. Okay. Phew, okay.
All right,
well. Which is kind of cool because my dad was a big Yankees fan, but he was man enough to be able to see pick your team. You do whatever you want.
Oh, see, mine, nice. Same thing, but not man enough to say. I ruined his life. I ruined his life forever when I became a Red Sox fan. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
You notice a little pep in my step?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Should we eat first or should we
discuss
the big news?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
What do you want?
Let's eat.
You want to eat first?
Let's eat first.
Let's get to one of our main thank yous of this episode. Unfortunately, we don't know to who. We have no idea. We got a box of that, Roxy.
We assume it's a little.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's got to be a little.
It's got to be.
Okay, because we got some potato chips sent to us. Not from Cincinnati, though.
No.
Okay. Now, that's why I thought maybe Tony B. I don't. These are like crazy.
It said New York, right?
Yeah. It said from somewhere in New York that I know. Not the city. Hold on. Let me get the box here. It says from Elmsford, New York.
Isn't that Long Island?
Maybe. I thought it was maybe up. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Is that Long Island?
I don't know. Anyway, they're nutso. Okay. Now, one out of, I want to say there's probably like, I don't know, 10 bags in here.
Yeah.
One was normal. One. That was it.
And normal
it
was, like how?
Well, it said like extra barbecue.
Okay. I've never seen
extra.
So
I dove right into this.
Yeah.
Okay. But barbecue is a flavor. Sure. Okay. The other one's not so much, Roxy. All right. We kind of opened one bag. Didn't really make the test here. It just has... It looks like a sour cream and onion bag. Now, these
That's
are
That's what I thought it was when I first saw
okay,
it.
These are all like Japanese. I believe from Japan. Japan. Okay.
I think maybe Japan.
Well, this first one, it looked like sour cream and onion, basically has pictures of sushi on the front. I'm not sure what. It's a sushi rolls on a plate.
That would be Japan.
Yeah. Well,
I think.
Not necessarily, Roxy.
I guess not.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Didn't do so well.
Aren't they known for sushi?
Okay. So we're going to recover here, though. Okay. Because this one, we're very intrigued by. We're not sure if we're going to like it. We haven't tried it yet.
I wouldn't go that far, at least for me.
What are you talking about?
I'm curious, but I wouldn't go as far as saying intrigued.
Oh, I disagree. As soon as you saw the bag, you were like, ooh, what's not... about intrigued. Same thing. You were like, oh, I can't wait.
Okay, fine. It's the same thing.
Now, this is called the flavor of these Lays. Now, the other thing is the barbecue, they were ridged. And I like ridged potato chips.
You do.
Okay.
These are not.
These are Lays. It says Lays in English. And then it's got some, it looks like either Japanese or Chinese symbols next to them. Underneath it has symbols. And then it says Italian red meat flavor. Now, we've opened the bag. We smelled them. Smells, I don't know what.
I didn't really smell
okay.
much.
Go ahead. You first,
red
Roxy.
Meat.
You're the one that wanted to eat first. I didn't want to eat first.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Take a big one.
Okay.
Well, she's got a face. Come on. It's not that bad.
I don't know about this.
They're not that bad.
As Simon would say.
They're okay. I'll finish them.
Honestly, my honest opinion, and I'm sorry to whoever sent these to us. If this offends you, but...
They're not going to be offended because I'm going to finish them. They're not that bad. That's my review.
It honestly tastes like cat food.
Oh my God, stop. That's just terrible.
It tastes a little like cat food.
Okay, well, you know what? Maybe that's why the box was addressed to me because they knew better. It was only addressed to me. I was being nice and sharing.
Yeah, Chuck,
them.
You can
remember
have
when
that.
Remember when we gave Carol gummies to give to Tony?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'm having some. He's like, oh, no, it's addressed. It was to me.
Yeah, right.
The card said to me, so no, I'm not sharing. I could do this with this whole box. Now, Littles, the other ones, they're out of, let me see. This one looks like Caprese. I don't know. It's got tomatoes. What is this one? They're all just weird flavors.
Oh, yeah. What was this one?
Spicy lobster.
Okay. The spicy lobster might be similar to the crab meat.
Well, no. Then
one
there's,
that we had.
No, we didn't have. That's another.
No.
There's a bag here. It's fried crab flavor. It says.
Yeah, didn't. Oh, no, that was shrimp flavor.
Shrimp flavored was the other one from,
yeah.
that I kind of liked.
Or
it
no,
was okay.
it wasn't shrimp. It was something else, but it was basically shrimp.
Okay. Well, enough of that. I'm finishing these. They're not that bad.
Yeah, you can
they're
have
not,
them.
Look, they're not great. I'm not saying they're great, but they're maybe because I'm starving because I haven't really eaten much
yeah.
today. So, All right. Well, thank you to whoever. We don't know who that
is. Yeah, that was a fun little
experiment.
I'm not
sure. We'll try them.
It's addressed to you, so there you go, Chuck.
I mean, maybe we'll give them as away as prizes. I don't know. Regift them, as they say.
I mean, they're very crunchy. They're not stale or anything like that.
No,
the actual quality of the chip is good.
Okay. Well, that's not good. All right. Let's start the show, shall we?
The crinkle of the bag is great.
We start with a couple emails, little texts here and there. Tiny Chuck, did you really just review a movie from 2016? You really have some catching up to do. Well, speaking of having some catching up to do, Tiny Chuck, that was in reference to a very specific Meet the Littles guest that I'm guessing you did not hear. So speaking
Busted.
Of, you know, catching up. All right. Then we wanted to give a quick shout out. It's to Mo Werner, episode 86, and also 250.
Yes.
He's technically a third wheel.
Yes, he is.
Okay. He was a third wheel at one point. He won a contest.
Uh-huh.
He won the raffle.
Uh-huh.
Just get well soon.
Yeah.
He reported that he had some stuff going on and he had to get an operation.
From playing ball?
From playing ball.
Oh.
And so he's going to be in recovery. So he's not sure if he's going to be able to attend all the little palooza stuff.
Right.
So we just want to give a shout out and say,
feel better.
Get well soon.
Oof. Yep.
Yeah.
We're thinking of you.
We have more thank yous, major thank yous.
Mm-hmm.
First one is thank you, Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
For becoming a monthly supporter.
Yeah.
That was a nice surprise.
So
now, I apologize for this one. I never got an email about that.
Oh, a notification?
Usually you get an email sent to our email address that, you know, you have a new supporter.
Right.
And it didn't happen. So I don't know when this happened. If it was recently, I think it had to be recently.
Must have been.
But. Normally we'll get a notification. I just happened to be on the website, on the Spotify website, and I saw that we had another supporter. So I kind of went down the list. I'm like, who's the new supporter? I didn't get any. And I figured out it was Alan Arkin.
So thank you so much.
No,
and
Chuck and Roxy
we get
number.
To meet you.
Yeah, we got to meet you.
Yeah.
So come on the podcast, get in touch, go to our website.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
And all the information is there to contact us to become Meet the Littles guest.
Yes.
But more importantly, if you would also like to become a monthly supporter, you scroll to the bottom of the homepage and it's right there. There's a link. It's says it'll take you right to the page you need to go to, and you can support the podcast for a monthly fee of just 99 cents a month, as little as 99 cents a month. There's other options, but you can do it for as little as 99 cents a month, or you could just go to our Venmo page, of course,
LL Pod,
and type in the code LL Pod, use the code LL Pod, and then you can donate one time, any amount.
It
can be a penny,
5 and 11,
can be whatever. So thank you very much. Now, should we just get the thank yous out of the way?
Yes.
I mean, Roxy, did you ever think a little could make Chuck cry?
No.
I mean, I believe it, but this was nuts. So this is not our official Passover episode. We're going to wait for Ritz to do one of those, I guess. But this came in on Passover. This came in yesterday.
Yes.
I don't even know how to...
Early birthday gift for you, Chuck.
It was an early birthday gift. That's what it said.
Put my gift to shame a little bit, but that's okay.
What, your birthday gift?
I haven't
seen your birthday gift yet.
My Christmas gift.
Well, okay, so it's tied in. So this is Kevin Maroney, and he's episode 270. I believe. Yeah. And I don't know what to say. Chuck doesn't get speechless very often, but he got me a birthday gift and it's absolutely out of this world. We have some other people to thank you for it that I'm going to be doing after Passover. And so anyway, Kevin Maroney, he got me a copy of The Baby Chase.
Yes.
Okay. Now, not only did he get me a copy of The Baby Chase, he got Tony to autograph it.
Yes.
And he wrote a little personalized thing in there. And
Chuck
speechless.
Is rarely speechless. We know this, everybody.
He is speechless. You got me a copy of The Baby Chase for Christmas.
I did.
No signature. Totally fine. I love the gift. It was amazing. Dina Damascus helped you get that.
Uh-huh.
I was speechless then.
Yeah.
So I completed my collection because I had read it. I believe it was Bobby Gottfried, episode 12. He lent me his copy.
Yes.
And thank you. I think Jamie Julian, a couple other people had offered their books to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but understandably, they wanted them back, of course. So I finally got one for my collection, and I was thinking, wow, maybe there's someday we could get that one autographed.
Right.
You know? And I thought, maybe I'll take it down,
whether
it's Jingle Fest, well, now it's Little Palooza, whatever. And I was like, maybe I can get it autographed. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And this one just came in the mail. And
I know.
It's pretty great. That's all I can say.
It was so sweet.
And
it
of course,
so sweet.
He threw some humor in there and the signature and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for showing me up.
Roxy
it's
was
okay.
Like, well, he didn't know.
Chuck's reaction was worth every.
He didn't realize that you had gotten one for me.
No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. But this is, I mean, to get it actually autographed is now you have a complete autographed collection.
I have a complete autographed collection of Tony Kornheiser books.
Which is so great. I'm so happy for you.
That's pretty amazing. So, all right. What should we do next? Should we save the bowling segment? Because you know who's, you know, inquiring about it. So let's do that. Let's table that. We'll put that in the email segment. We wanted to talk about, I don't know how much I want to go into it. We don't have that much time left here after all the thank yous. But we wanted to talk about what we did the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we should give a shout out to Steve Shashir. We got to see him.
Yes.
We got to meet
person.
Up with him. Mm-hmm. And we met his lovely woman to whom he's related to by marriage.
Yep.
And is their daughter.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And so that was great. That was a good time. But before that, I had this idea to do, well, it was kind of a date night.
Yeah.
It was kind of okay. Well, the company was great, Roxy. You know where I'm going. Okay, so this is what happened, Littles. There's this band out there, and it's kind of silly. All I know is that we need to get hooked up with their social media person because their social media is so great. Every time I get on Facebook, I get on Instagram, I see their page, and it comes up. And it's a band, and they're playing, like, a song. And most of these songs are covers of 80s songs.
Right.
So right in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
Because we've talked about Jesse's Girl. We've talked about Rubik's Cube.
Yep.
Those are very popular bands that just do
80s.
Cover bands. Cover bands, okay? This is another one, but the uniqueness of them are they're, I call them kids. They're not really kids. They're teenagers.
Well, they are kids, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, they're teenagers.
High school.
Well, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
Because Roxy is shamed
you were
me.
Right, Chuck.
You shamed me in front of Steve Shashir.
You were
saying,
right,
like,
Chuck.
Oh, come on, Chuck. They're at least 17, maybe 18 years old. I'm like, okay, maybe, but I don't think so. Long story short, the band is called Burn the Jukebox, okay? And it is a band of four people. It consists of 15 and 16-year-olds,
yes.
Okay? That's how old they are. Mm-hmm. I had to Google it because I was like,
he had to be right.
Well, okay, there was part of the light that. But, I mean, I did want to know the real answer because I was curious because you're right. They do look a little older, but it's three guys and one woman.
Yep.
And on Instagram and, well, the TikTok is where they were pushing the most. I don't have TikTok.
Yeah, I think they decided to do for a year, every day they would play a new song and they would get recommendations.
Oh.
I think
See,
that
I
was the
that.
Point of them. And they went viral by doing that. Every day for a year, they posted a new song.
A new song, a new cover song.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out that they do originals.
Yes.
So I gave a card. This is before the show started. I went up to the merch table, gave a card to someone who was connected to the project and, you know, the band. And I said, you know, I let them know about our podcast and say, look, we would love to promote them,
yeah.
You know, because I'm here to see them.
Right.
Now, let me back up. So when I went to the website, I saw the ad that they were going to be in New York City on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, they were playing the Cutting Room, very popular event space here. Not a huge place. It's a bar.
It's cute.
But it's cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was going to see how much the tickets were. And if it wasn't too crazy, I was going to get them because we had nothing going on that night, except we were going to meet up with Steve afterwards.
Right.
Okay. So I go to click purchase and it says $0.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I don't know if this
Heck
is a mistake.
Yeah.
I was like, well, because usually the places like this then have like a cover,
a
then
drink
a drink minimum,
yeah.
a food minimum, mm-hmm. stuff like that. There was nothing.
No.
So I was like, whoa, maybe this is a mistake. I don't know. I'm hitting purchase just in case. So I got two tickets. No dollars. That's how much it cost. Now it says the doors open at 6 p.m. Show starts at 7. So, you know, look, every time I go on Facebook or Instagram, that's all I see are these kids.
That's also partly the algorithm.
Yes. Okay. Well, all I was trying to say is I didn't know. I figured this was either going to be a hard ticket to get, meaning like there's not going to be a seat in the house or no one's going to be there. That
right.
was my guess. It was
right.
one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down, you know, to get there right around 5 of 6 just in case.
Yeah.
And we saw there was no line like out the door or anything. So we're like, okay, so we're okay.
Yeah.
So we took a little walk. Then we got back around 6:30, would you say? A little bit like that. Roughly.
Sure.
Roughly. We'll say 6:30. And we got a nice table for two.
Yeah.
Really good seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not right in the front, but it was a good seat. And I went up to then, as I said, went to the merch table, talked to the women, trying to see if they'll want to send in some music so we can promote them because I figured I'm going to love them.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of hinted. She's like, yeah. She's like, I don't remember how it came up, but she's like, yeah, we're probably not going to get started right at 7. She's like, it'll probably be more like 7:30. And I was like, oh, that's too bad. Okay, well, whatever. So I came back and told you and, you know, but you got a dessert and we got some drinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a
it
nice,
was great.
Nice date night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Until
7:30 comes.
Nothing.
7:45 comes. Nothing. 8 o'clock comes, nothing. Then we start hearing like there's a bus that's coming.
Not here
from,
yet.
The band is from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But they were already there.
Yeah.
The band was there.
Yeah.
Everyone's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But apparently they were busing in a bus from Pennsylvania, and it, I don't know if it got stuck in traffic or whatever. But turns out, long story short, that somebody, this is why it was free, somebody bought out the cutting room for a birthday party. Now, this is where I get aggravated because I'm like, then why were we even allowed to be there?
Right.
It should have just been a private birthday party.
Well, because it was just a small table.
Well, okay, sure. But if he bought the whole room out, I don't know. All I'm saying is, long story short, they didn't even, the bus didn't even get there till 8:20. The show's supposed to start at 7 o'clock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bus didn't even get there till 8:25. The band didn't even start till after 8:30, okay?
Right.
I'm like furious at like 8:15 because I'm like,
you were furious before.
Yeah,
that, but
because I'm like, who do they think they are? Madonna? Now, I know Madonna's been all around. And who's the other one? Mariah Carey.
Oh,
she's the other one. Notorious for starting like late.
Yeah.
OK, but this is like an hour and a half and these are freaking kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I get that you're a big deal on TikTok, but get your butts on stage and play some music because I was getting really. But again, how can you complain? The tickets cost nothing.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do. And I know I could just leave.
But
that's
also
an option.
You know, I am not mad at the kids.
No, you can't. I guess you can't.
You can't really be
mad
at the kids.
You could be mad at their manager because
sure.
They should not have allowed this to happen.
Sure.
They should have said, no, we are scheduled to go
and
at 7.
And also maybe the cutting room for.
Yes. This looks bad on the cutting
Nobody
room.
Nobody made any announcements.
Yes, that was the other thing. Nobody.
There was some guy roaming around and going up to very specific people
that he knew that were in the audience.
And we overheard.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in the Lincoln Tunnel. They'll be here
in 10 minutes.
And I'm like,
it's Friday.
Yeah, right.
Was it
right.
Saturday?
It was Saturday
night.
Saturday night.
In New York.
Yeah, right.
If you're in the Lincoln Tunnel coming from New Jersey.
Half hour
on a Saturday,
at least.
No, more than that. It's going to be 45 minutes to an hour.
At least
yeah,
a half
45
an
minutes
hour.
To an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, at 7:45, 45 minutes already after they're supposed to be on, don't start telling people they're going to be here in 10 minutes.
Right.
Because that ain't happening.
No.
Okay? And it was just so
And it was this
aggravating.
Birthday party.
But again, I didn't know, you know, how can I sit here and complain? I had the option to leave. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to stay.
I know.
But,
I said, do you want to leave?
But it was
Multiple
a band
times.
I was really excited to see.
I know.
And they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good. Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story is, I guess, give some love to Burn the Jukebox. But
they're great.
Hopefully we're going to get some music to play on the podcast. But I don't know. The manager needs a talking to.
Yeah.
A stern talking to. Because
yeah.
I don't care that this. I don't know. I don't know how to say it.
Well, that's
it's
confusing
selfish,
to me.
But
I didn't realize. I mean, you're under the assumption, unless you heard something I didn't, that this birthday party bought out the place. So then at that point, then the cutting room should not have
issued tickets. Free or not.
But maybe because it was such a small, maybe they didn't buy out the whole venue. They bought certain tables.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
And then the rest was, but yeah, it's like, I'm sorry. Okay, fine. It's your birthday. You can be late if you want to. You can cry if you want to. All of those things. But.
At least make an announcement. Make a freaking
I'm
announcement.
Sorry.
That's the
You're
least
You're coming
you
from Pennsylvania. Plan better.
Yeah, that's true,
plan
too.
Plan better.
Yeah. Or have them do the birthday party in Pennsylvania.
Plan better.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, now, real quick, we got to get out of here. We're already way over time, but we got the big announcement. We have to tell everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Lewis is on it. Lewis is getting together with Greg Garcia's people.
Yes.
We think we're going to work it out.
Yes.
It's looking good.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. All stuff's good now.
We talked to him.
We understand Greg has some stipulations about mm-hmm. coming on the podcast, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be stuff we can work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Might be exciting for us because
mm-hmm.
it might be a Loyal Littles podcast first.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try.
I wonder if he needs like red M&Ms.
No, green M&Ms.
Oh, green M&Ms.
Something
sorry.
Like that.
Yeah.
No, we'll get them for him.
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
get them for Look, that's how bad Chuck and Roxy want him
yeah.
on the podcast. Lewis was the problem, but Lewis is good. He swallowed his pride. He got in touch with the people. We're working it out.
Yes.
So fingers crossed, obviously not today, but we're working it out.
Yes.
So anyway, but in the meantime, we have a great Meet the Littles guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Alex Cobb from Springfield, Missouri, and you are listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Success.
being played in this episode by an artist named Chris Hardy. And this song is called Your Money or Your Life. Now, if you like what you hear, you can hear all of Chris's stuff over on Bandcamp. Just head on over and type in chrishardy.bandcamp.com. He also says give him a follow over on Twitter, or X as the kids call it, at Chris Hardy World. Now, we'll put all that in the show notes. And the most important thing is we will play the full song, Your Money or Your Life, at the end of the podcast. All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
No last name on this one.
No.
Very incognito.
An initial. I like it.
It's very, you know, intriguing.
Mysterious.
Let's find out who the heck this person is. Please welcome to the podcast, Tony L. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Great. How are you guys?
We're good. Is this Greg Garcia or no?
It is not Greg Garcia.
Okay. All right. Just checking. I know one of these times it's
Chuck, this is your new thing.
It's definitely my new thing. These people, they write in, they're like, oh, this and that. And I'm like, this is Greg Garcia. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tony, we're glad it's you, actually.
Yes.
Because he doesn't
We've seen
come.
Your name around
quite a bit. I don't know where I've seen it, but we're going to find out. Let's take it way back. We want to meet you first. Tell us all something about yourself. Introduce yourself to all the loyal littles.
Okay. So I'm Tony L. I am originally born in Brooklyn. But I don't remember it, actually, because my parents, I'd like to say, were nomadic.
Okay.
And after about 6 months there, a short stint in Boston, place here and there, they moved back into Maryland where they met. And I've lived here ever since, just outside D.C. I grew up in Wheaton, Maryland, went to Wheaton High School and then University of Maryland. I now live in Silver Spring, which I know for the two of you, because you're in the New York area, you may not know the area well enough, but Silver Spring, I can literally walk to DC in about 5 minutes across the street.
So, that's where we want to live.
Yeah.
Do you live in a house?
No, I live in an apartment building.
Oh, okay.
Are there houses though?
Yeah, there are houses there. There are houses here, except they're super expensive.
I was going to say, they're probably like $1 million homes. Yeah. Well,
if you live maybe that close, not, if you live not that, that close, high,
okay,
but,
all right.
But maybe a couple miles down the road. Yeah, in Chevy Chase, because I'm not far from Chevy Chase, which is kind of like adjacent to where Mr. Tony lives.
Yeah,
so. Right.
So, but that's it. And I like to joke, I'm an office drone. I'm an accountant.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But I spent about 15 years working as a consultant, so I was a roaming office drone.
Okay.
But that's about, not to say that's about it. I've listened to Tony since I don't even know exactly when it was, but probably in one of his first iteration radio shows. And I'm a avid sports fan of basically everything in the DC area. I do have a funny thing, if you'd like to know, about how I actually declared myself a now Commanders fan. But
okay,
my parents used to buy at a lot of thrift stores. And one point I ended up with a Philadelphia Eagles raincoat.
Oh,
I don't know how they got it. Other than that, they got it from a thrift store. So I had to wear it to school. This was probably when I was like in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And so everybody assumed I was an Eagles fan. And finally,
now,
I just
did they know,
threw the thing in the trash.
Did they know you were going to get beat up? Like what?
I, you know, it's funny because my father was a sports fan. So it wasn't like he was like he didn't know. I mean, literally, it's because I don't mind saying this. It's like I have two siblings. My parents never told us we were working poor. We never felt poor, but we knew we were poor to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles raincoat, because I needed a raincoat.
Yeah,
and my mom probably found it at Goodwill or whatever store she went at. So, you know.
Well, and you know, now that I'm thinking about it, back then, I mean, it was really, and I'm going to say the word because they were the Redskins back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was more Redskins Cowboys, I think, was the arch rival of that division, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, back then the Eagles were just a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like.
Yeah.
It was just like more of my friends would look at me. It's like, you're an Eagles fan. It's like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I really wasn't a fan of football back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
But then one day just got tired of the harassing and jokes and threw it in the trash. And I also kind of outgrew it by then. I was
about
3 years later. And so I didn't need it anymore and kind of just said, I'm a, you know, now Redskins fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Now, can I ask you a question, though? Do you go back now and find those people and say, ha, joke's on you? Because the Eagles have always been a better team, or like, how do you like?
Not really. No, I mean, these weirdly, because, you know, I'm still in the same area. I went to elementary school, essentially. I still am friends with some of the people, but we don't even think, I didn't even think about it until I was like thinking about my sports fandom and what's going on. But that's the only time it ever comes up, but not anymore. I used to work with a bunch of Eagles fans, though, back when they were actually pretty good. And when Terrell Owens was on the team and a couple other So I used to joke about them. And there was one guy who said, you know, I can't wait till they win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? You know, like buy a replica ring and walk around with it?
No, I'm going to buy a raincoat.
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's, you know, fandom is fun, but it's, some people take it a little bit overboard. That's
so
how
you're definitely one of these people that don't agree with people who say, we won a World Series. I mean, that might or might not be Chuck.
Well,
but
I mean, I did help the Nationals win the World Series.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you
there
did.
You go. Okay. Yeah. So
okay.
There you go. Yeah. Did you do their taxes? What are we talking here?
I'm obviously joking. I like to. Just going off your joke a little bit, but I'm not that type. I do not say we. I do realize I am a fan at most. I applied for a job with the Nationals, and they didn't hire me. So
that's too bad. But, now, can we go way, way back, though? Okay, because you probably don't know this. Roxy's dad is an accountant.
Yes.
So we have a connection there. What was your major in college? Is this something you always wanted to go into, or how did you get into it?
So my major in college was accounting, but that was actually probably not my choice. I know we didn't talk ages. I don't mind talking about my age. I'm 50 years old.
Okay.
So I'm a Gen Xer. When I was talking with my parents what I was going to major in, and I was going to be the first college graduate in my family that went straight to college from high school. And I was talking to them about majors, and at first talked about computer science. So we're talking like 1989.
Yeah.
I graduated from high school in 91. So 1989, and you're telling parents you want to be a computer science major. And they're like, what's that?
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, and then I talked about lawyer. And, you know, the other thing you don't know about me, possibly because we didn't share video or talk about, you know, my background, but I am Chinese American.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought about being a lawyer. And my mother literally sat down and told me this thing and said, how many Asian faces do you see being a lawyer? And I'm like, you're right about that, too. So I kind of just played around in my senior year in high school and found this accounting class that fit at the end of the day. And I figured, oh, I'd skip it because it was my senior year. Mm-hmm. If I didn't like it, I actually liked it. That was the weird part.
Oh,
and so that's how I ended up being an accounting major. So
wow. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I always love it when people just they know what they want to do because they love something. And, you know, there's that famous saying, just do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Now, are you one of these you're sighing relief now because your busy time is over?
So, yeah, that's the one thing a lot of people think is accountants are all do either taxes or audit. And I do neither of those things. So I'm busy all year round, but I'm essentially what people would describe as corporate accountant or bookkeeper. I do the day-to-day stuff. Nothing. Deadlines are monthly. April 15th is not my deadline.
Right.
So, which is a good thing because I think those people are crazy. But that's
yeah. So. Well, your dad does both, right?
Yeah.
He works at a college.
Yeah.
He works for a college, but then he also does taxes.
Yeah.
You know, for other
for people,
private clients and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he just started to be able to go golfing again. So we're happy about
that's
that. Yeah, right. And so I just realized now that you've revealed your age, because we didn't do that before we started the interview, which is fine. I misspoke then, because the then Redskins actually had a good run while you were in middle school, right? Middle school, high school, in that area?
Yeah, it was middle school and high school.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally won the Super Bowl.
1992.
You know, my senior year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that's good. So, okay. So it wasn't as bad. But then since then, it's been a little rough.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little. I don't want to go too far into it. All right. Well, listen, we've got a lot more to get into, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Can we try it once and say Chip and Reggie?
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Doxy. And Keith Ammerman.
Keith Ammerman.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we are lucky enough to have Tony L. with us.
Yes.
Now, Anthony, correct? Is that what people call you, Tony?
Well, Anthony's my formal name.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it like having the same name as Tony Kornheiser? I mean, there must be something to that, right?
Yeah, well, on occasion when I post or comment in the Facebook groups, I always have to try to make clear what my comment or my post is about. And I'm talking about myself, you know, that, talking about sometimes I have to go Mr. Tony or I have to go Grandpa Hoff, you know, all these other ways just to make sure I'm talking about Tony Kornheiser and not myself. The weird part is, like I said earlier, I was a consultant for a while. And even, you know, in my office drone part, people think because my last name, I know we're not revealing it all the way, but my last name is not exactly clear as to what ethnicity it is to some people. Yeah. And because I speak, not to say normal English, I'm not trying to badger people who don't speak clear English.
Just
when I talk to people on the phone or trade emails with them, they think I'm like, you know, because I have Tony or Anthony as my name. Uh-huh. They think I'm like an Italian.
And
you're born
in Brooklyn. They're paisan. What's up?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually got my name. The joke about that is I got my name because my parents were immigrants from China when my parents were in labor, or I can't remember exactly when it was, but they told me that they had asked their landlords a good American name. And my parents' landlords were Italian Americans. So they gave Anthony as a good American name. And how I got my name.
That's how you got your name. That's incredible.
That's amazing.
And if I may say so, I would not have known. I'm not saying I thought you were Italian, but let me get out of that right now before I dig that hole any deeper. All right. Well, you did put some things down here in the form now. Now, the first one makes total sense to me because now that I know what you do and I know a little bit more about you, but it just says we could talk about my need for things in order.
Yeah. So I have this weird thing and my friends don't understand this, including a couple of friends who are accountants. So I think this is just not to say just me, but at least a subset of people that are just me is that now granted, again, I said earlier, you know, I'm old enough. I didn't have DVRs and streaming and all this other stuff and binging on demand. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't do this before, but once I got all that, I have to watch everything in order or I have to listen to things in order. Mm. So when I told you before we started recording about that, I listened to a couple of episodes of the Loyal Littles podcast to make sure I knew what was going on. I started from the very beginning and it cringed that I had to go listen to the most recent episode.
Yeah.
Because I had to skip over 300 episodes.
Right. So Littles, he wanted to know what we do.
Yeah,
so
he
did it the right way. He listened to a couple in the beginning or so, and then he went to the end so he could see where we're at now.
Right.
Thank goodness, because it's totally different. Sound quality alone. I'm not saying the content's any better, but no, I think it is. But no, seriously, I mean, we totally get it. I am the same way. That's why I could totally relate to this about going in order. It's really hard for me to go out of order with things. I think that's also the stage manager in me.
Yeah.
Just trying to be as organized as possible and just doing things in a certain way in certain order. All right. And now the next thing on the form, I'm really interested. I don't know if I'm saying this the right way. Is the number a year? Is that what you're saying? It just says baseball 2131.
No. And maybe because I know you are Red Sox fans.
Yes.
From previous episodes, I understood that. But people may not know this, but that is Cal Ripken's.
Of course. Yeah.
The Cal Ripken number. So because you're not Orioles fans.
No. But I'm a dope. I should know that. My best friend is a diehard Orioles fan.
Yeah.
And I knew the number. I thought you were talking about what baseball is going to be like in the future. Okay, go ahead.
In the year 2131.
This is Cal's number. I should have known. I'm a dope. Okay.
So my first job out of college, I worked for a not-for-profit, and one of the senior vice presidents there had season tickets to the Orioles back then. This was before the Nationals were in town.
Right. Yeah.
And so the Orioles were the closest Major League Baseball team. And so he'd sell us at basically his cost tickets when he couldn't go to a game, you know, if we wanted them. And so me and a couple friends, you know, we bought tickets from him. We sat, they were great seats. They were on third base side, just inside. So just in fair territory, right behind third base. And then all of a sudden we were just sitting there, and then one of my friends looked and said, "Wait, Cal's not out there." And we're like, "What?" Then we realized this was the day Cal decided he wasn't going to play anymore. He wasn't going to continue the streak.
Right.
Sorry.
But you didn't know that before the game?
No, we didn't. Because you're not Orioles fans, nobody knew this was happening. It just happened. Like Ryan Minor, if I remember correctly, it was Ryan Minor, was basically told 10 minutes before the game, or basically when the lineup card was being given to the umpires, that Cal was not going to play. And this was like, you know, you also have to think about all these other weird things that happened that people take for granted now. It's just like, I think only one of us out of the three of us that were sitting there had a cell phone. We had four tickets. Our other friend was going to get concessions. So luckily he had a cell phone too. So we had to have the one cell phone that we had call our friend to say, go see if you can find any, you know, like programs and stuff like that. Because, you know, we're like, and we want to make sure we have evidence of this day. So he found like one program because as soon as everybody knew.
Wow.
What was going on, you know, basically every bit of merchandise was being bought at Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That had any reference to the date at all. So it was just funny just to think about. And I was like, this is just the weird things that happen that you don't expect. I used to have the ticket stub. I don't know what happened to it. It's probably buried in storage somewhere.
I'm sure it's somewhere. Oh, I don't think you would have thrown that out.
That hurts.
Not no, it's probably somewhere in storage somewhere. Yeah. But, you know, it's just weird things. It's like the other thing. Even before that, which was less exciting than this, was that my same group of friends at that time, we had actually timed out, like we actually figured out the five-man rotation 3 months in advance. We figured out exactly when Mike Mussina was pitching for the Orioles because we wanted to go see Mussina pitch. And what I can't remember now is exactly if it was that day or the next day. That was the strike year. And the strike started either that night or the day before.
Oh, no.
So we literally timed out to watch Mussina on
the last
like
day
I said,
that the pros played.
And then we couldn't see it because they went on strike. Like definitely that week. I just can't remember exactly.
Yeah, sure.
What
sure.
a bummer.
When it happened. We spent all that time trying to time it out and then it just didn't work out.
That's tough to do though too, because anything you know, rainouts, injuries, anything can happen. But that's good on you. Wow, that's one of my claim to fame. I can't remember where it was. I don't remember if it was Erie, you know, Pennsylvania. I don't know where the minor was playing in the minors after that game. And everyone was pointing him out. They were making a bit, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? They're like, oh, that's the guy. His big claim to fame was he's the guy that went in for Cal Ripken Jr. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got to see him play in the minors. That's all I know. I didn't know who the hell he was or whatever it was. Right. But I was like, oh, okay, big deal. You know, well, because when you go to a minor league game, there's usually not much there.
Right.
You know, it depends. Sometimes get lucky and there'll be like a pro and a rehab start or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, wow, that's so cool. Wow. All right. So, and we didn't get into this now because you live close by. Did you ever get to Chatter to see Tony at the restaurant?
I did go once.
Oh, great.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but I saw him and Gary Williams was also a partner.
One of the owners, yeah.
And so it must have been some sort of,
was it for the podcast or was it when he was bartending or something?
Well, that's what I can't remember. Oh, okay. I think it was latter. I think it was more that because I don't think it was a podcast thing.
Gotcha.
I think it was just, I went to University of Maryland when Gary was the
coach.
So I love Gary Williams.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I probably went. To be honest, I probably went because Gary Williams was there. I kind of, not to say I don't love Tony Kornheiser, but it's because
you went more.
I always thought
coach.
I can go to Chatter anytime and see Tony Kornheiser. But when is Gary Williams?
When
gonna
is Coach
going to
be there?
Right.
Absolutely. No, I totally get it. That's so funny. All right. Well, excellent. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, but we've got to get some of our fun, dumb questions in. We hope that's okay.
Sure.
All right,
Roxy, take it away.
If you could have dinner with anyone from history, who would it be?
From history, that's an interesting one. There's like two people I want to meet.
Okay, that's fine.
So Abraham Lincoln, and that's probably a pretty popular.
It is. A lot of people say that one. Yeah.
And it, for the obvious reasons, like, you know, I'd like to know his thoughts on why he made the choices he made, things like that. What it was. And also because just thinking about when during that time, how many people were actually, not to say pro-slavery or anti-slavery, but just out of curiosity, what was his thoughts on that?
Right.
Yep.
And then the other thing is we didn't talk about this, but I used to be a very avid reader and I'm still only about a third of the way through a 2-volume of the entire history of the Civil War and World War. So I'm a big fan about reading about the Civil War and World War II specifically.
Okay.
So that's the Civil War. That's where it gets covered by Abraham Lincoln. For the World War II, I like to talk to, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. I said, want to talk to a soldier during that time frame to also think about what happened on D-Day. And I know it's not specific, it's not a historical figure, but I just like to know what their thoughts are on D-Day.
Very interesting.
Okay, the Civil War gives me the heebie-jeebies, but I did in school growing up. I don't want to say enjoy because it's a war. You know, you're learning about a war, but the whole World War II era, 1930s, 40s, all of that is so intriguing to me. I had a hard time learning about the Civil War, for sure.
Now, have you seen the Ken Burns documentary on that by any chance?
Yes, but it's been a while.
Okay. Yeah, I have it. I've just never watched it. Mm-hmm. I actually got it from a Buy Nothing Group person. And so I was like, yeah, I'll take this. I know I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it someday. Because I have the jazz one, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen that one either. But yeah, I'm looking very forward to that. You know, I also find it very interesting on that question specifically. I'd say 8 to 9 out of 10 times people choose presidents.
Yeah. Right.
It's not always Abraham Lincoln, but that's a popular one.
It is, yeah.
But it's always presidents, which, you know, it may kind of make sense.
Yeah,
in a way,
for sure.
But, yeah.
I mean, he'd be really cool to meet.
But. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, all right. How about, what's your favorite movie quote? Do you have one?
I don't have a specific quote, but unfortunately, age has gotten the best of me. But from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I used to be able to quote the entire scene in the classroom when Spicoli and Mr. Hand are talking about the pizza and all the others. Like, I could quote that entire scene, the 5 minutes. And because the age has gotten the best of me, I can't do it anymore.
Well, you're like me. That would be me, but with Breakfast Club. Like, I used to be able to quote every line and, like, say, lyric from that movie. You're talking about the, you know, Mr. Hand, I've been thinking about this. Isn't it our time? You know, this is our time, you know.
I feel like if you watch the movie again, like it would come back to you.
Roxy. We saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, we did.
They were replaying it for the anniversary in the movie theater. I'm like, she's like, I've never seen that. I'm like, oh my God, you have to come see this with me. So anyway, all right, that's a good one. What's next, Roxy?
What's the most beautiful place you've ever been?
The most beautiful place I've ever been. So actually, Stanford's campus. And I know this sounds weird, but I have a lot of family in the Bay Area. And I remember when I was 10 years old, one of my older distant cousins, he's the same generation as me, but he's like a cousin of a cousin of a cousin or something, some weird distance. But he is related to me by blood, like 1/1000th, but still. He took me and my brother, who's a little bit younger than me, and we went around the town. He showed us all these places. And Stanford's campus, like, I was 10 years old, but I'd already decided I was going to apply to Stanford. And the only reason I didn't apply to Stanford was because Maryland accepted me early. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to spend the $50 and, you know, writing an essay and all this other stuff to go to a school that I probably can't afford anyways.
Right.
So.
I forgot it costs money just to apply.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to send the application.
What a ripoff.
I know, right? Well.
Ugh.
He answered all your questions.
I know.
All right. How about if you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
So one of my favorite, and I think I probably, well, my favorite band is Metallica. So I'd probably choose them. But just, you know, out of a funny side joke, I think one of the favorite things is, and I may actually remember this incorrectly, was Sir Patrick Stewart from Star Trek fame, when he introduced Salt-N-Pepa as the musical guest, and he did it with such Shakespearean authority.
I actually thought,
or at least that's how I remember it. It felt like he was introducing the Queen of England.
No, like, really, I've seen that. And Peppa. No, there was like pep in his step. Oh, it was so funny. Yes, I have seen that clip. He definitely did that. Yep.
I'm glad that I wasn't remembering.
Salt and Peppa!
You know, like I said, going back, I would choose Metallica because that's my favorite band. But.
Excellent. All right, Roxy, let's do some rapid fire.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Speaking of Sir, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
How about Brady Bunch or Partridge Family?
Brady Bunch.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Let's try Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper.
Mr. Furley.
Heathcliff or Garfield?
Ooh.
Garfield.
All right. And how about Uranus jokes? Not funny or never not funny?
Not funny.
Not funny. Oh. Okay. No. All right. We found another one,
Roxy. Haven't had one in a long time.
Good for you.
Whoa.
All right. Well, listen, Tony, we can't thank you enough for can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Take a second, plug anything you want to plug, and also let everyone know if they can follow you or how they can get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with.
So I have nothing to plug because I'm a boring office drone, but they can follow me on Instagram, BigMoneyTony1.
BigMoneyTony1.
I love that.
The number one.
Great name.
Oh my gosh.
It's also my rap name, my gangster name, you know, just whatever. You know, it kind of works all around. I've had that nicknames for 30 years, actually. Now
Big Money Tony.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Now, have you met Big Money Tony? No number. Is that out?
Actually, I own that in other platforms.
Of course you do.
No longer use like Twitter. Awesome. But.
All right, big money, Tony. Thanks for coming on to Meet the Littles. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Over. I feel like people are crazy. I mean, I heard some of the theories of why under works, but I don't get that at all.
I don't either. Roxy here's adaptable. Anyway, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Kickert from Davenport, Iowa, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Oh, gnarly!
Welcome back to Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Tony L., for coming on to Meet the Littles. Mysterious one.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, though.
Oh, my gosh, so great.
Quick, it's not really a check. It's just I want to confirm. He was totally right. I did not remember that about the Cal Ripken Jr. game. Okay, it was September 20th, 1998. It was 30 minutes before game time they made the change.
Whoa.
Now, I did not realize that.
That's cutting it close.
I do not remember that. That's when they decided. So talk about nobody knowing.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what's so surprising me because I remember the big sign in the outfield and the numbers. And how did they not know? I know they just kept, I guess each game they would just add a new number or whatever, obviously. But
maybe.
Wow, I did not know that. So that was kind of cool. Emails?
Yeah.
But before we do, we just want to say, kiss today goodbye. The sweetness and the sorrow. Wish me luck, the same to you. But I can't regret what I did for love, what I did for love. One of my favorites.
Getting clumped over
that's
here.
That's from, of course, A Chorus Line.
That one gets me every time I hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, because the monologue going into it is what?
If today were the day you had to stop dancing, how would you feel? And, you know, that just hits really close to home for me.
What would you do? So. And that's when she starts singing Kiss Today Goodbye.
And that's when I start bawling my eyes out.
Yeah. Such a good show. Well, there's a couple times in that show you bawl your eyes out. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. You got the first one, right?
I do. John Mossman here. I'm the nephew of Wynn Mossman, Chuck and Roxy 311, creator of the Flush the Mouse logo, coming soon on t-shirts and stickers, I believe, and Loyal Little. I watched PTI for over 20 years before Wynn got me listening to the TK show, and it has become part of my morning routine every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the past year. I've even had a few emails read. I believe I'm 3 for 5, so not so bad.
That's pretty good.
Two things. I understand that the 1 in 1 million game is over on the TK show, and by sending this email, I may be shortening the odds of my Uncle Wynn's 1 in 1 million story, but what are the odds that I would have a similar 1 in 1 million story to my uncle's? Probably 1 in 1 million. Here it goes. From December 2005 to December 2007, I was living in Honduras as a missionary for the Mormon Church. I had been in the country for around 2 months, so I was picking up the language, but my brain would sometimes get exhausted making translations and trying to speak Spanish. When that happened, it was easy to get discouraged and homesick. One afternoon, as I sat on a rickety old bus going from one village to another, my brain scrambled and I began to feel homesick and frustrated. Just then, a man on the other side of the aisle reached across my chest and pointed to the name tag with my last name on it and said, in broken English, Mossman Law, Moscow, Idaho. I perked up immediately and stared at him incredulously. The man smiled at me again and said, Mossman Law, Moscow, Idaho. A conversation ensued where the man explained that his father had made his way to the United States in the mid-70s and was having a difficult time adjusting. He had been working odd jobs in northern Idaho when he received assistance and compassion from my grandfather, Roy Mossman. I was dumbstruck. The bus came to its stop and we parted ways. I often think of that chance meeting and am grateful to have grandparents who touched the lives of so many and set an example of what life can be like when you fill your life with love and service to others. Anyway, I was born and raised in Moscow, Idaho, lived in Honduras for 2 years, and currently reside in Meridian, Idaho, the mountain time zone of Idaho, with my beautiful wife and 4 wonderful kids. I'm currently catching up on Chuck and Roxy and would love to be interviewed on your Meet the Littles segment. Cheers, John Mossman, episode TBD.
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
That is amazing.
I know. What are the odds?
All right, Chuck and Roxy, the way IQ points work is that the most average people around have an IQ of 100. Those who are just under a 70 IQ are considered mildly mentally handicapped, while having an IQ over 130 is getting into the exceptional range.
Ah.
This makes a Dolph Lundgren-like 160 IQ quite exceptional, as only about one out of every 34,000 people have an IQ that high.
Whoa.
If you don't mind me sharing a base running story, when I was playing college baseball, one year our third baseman was Kirk Dougal, and Kirk lifted a lot of weights. One day, Kirk was on first base in a game when a teammate singled to right field. Kirk turned hard as he rounded second base, and a moment later he screamed out, "All four quads! All four quads!
No!
I've blown out all four quads!"
No!
But Kirk was... But Kirk wasn't a quitter. Kirk ended up hopping on one leg the last 60 feet to third base as the entire dugout burst out laughing because, let's face it, a teammate getting injured is always hilarious.
Oh, no.
And because you're wondering, Kirk beat the throw to third base. 11 bonus cool points to you, Chuck, for knowing my Choxi number off the top of your head. That's a special place in Valhalla reserved for you. Glenn Burgetts, Choxi 295.
Nice. All right, next up. Hey, Roxy and Chuck. Happy spring. Every time I hear you, I want to run out and join a softball team. I had so much fun pitching a couple decades ago in Alaska. I have just one question. What does gravity have to do with over-under? Is it really different depending on which side you unspool? Or have I missed the boat and people now have a way of dispensing their toilet paper up above the roll? I know some have dispensers that hold the roll vertically, which opens the door to front and back instead of over under, but gravity, really? Sorry. On another note, I wanted to put a shameless plug in for all of Littlepalooza, but highlighting two events that I am organizing both on Friday the 7th of June. Looks like we already have a good group coming together for Golfapalooza, which will be Friday morning. Exact tee times are unknown yet, but around 10 a.m. We are playing at Rock Creek Golf Course, 9 holes. I played last week and it is in good shape with a good mix of open fairways and elevated greens, so should have something for everyone. And on Friday evening, a more special event that comes with free food, a little barbecue at my house in Southwest DC, walkable from downtown DC, the National Mall, and the Southwest Waterfront. So come early and explore those areas and then stop by for some homebrew, BBQ, and lively little chatter on Friday evening. Sign up for both and other events at the website or our website.
No, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going. Finish the email.
Thank you. Hope you two can make it down. Cheers, Toby, number 246.
Okay. Now, I feel like we buried the lead there. Now, he's walkable but lives in a house to the mall?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Where's that?
I know, right?
Where are the houses?
Is the neighbor's house for sale?
Right.
That's what we're looking for. And then, so yes, of course, let's plug that. Just go to our website.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
There's a tab at the top that says Littlepalooza.
Yeah.
And then you click on that and it'll bring you right to the website where you can reserve for everything. That's the easiest way, I think.
In Damascus, Wix something.
Yeah, it's a long, understandably, so it can be free because it's a, you know, we understand that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, so thank you for that.
Yeah, Toby.
Make sure you do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, dear Choxi, one, I can't believe you didn't say more about the Kingston Trio song that Aldridge of on the NBA was based on. It's a famous song in Boston. Yes, I knew that. We just didn't really have a lot of time, but that was the jingle we played last time. Charlie on the MTA was made famous by the Kingston Trio in 1959. It made fun of the fare increase on the MTA that required passengers to pay the normal fee getting on the train and then an extra nickel to get off the train. Charlie in the song did not have the extra nickel, so he continued to ride the train forever. The final chorus got the song banned in Boston as it added a political statement, quote, "Vote for George O'Reilly and get Charlie off the MTA," end quote.
Ooh.
This kept the song from being played on Boston radio stations to avoid upsetting rivals of the mayoral candidate.
Wow.
As my branch of the family grew up in Connecticut, it became the sacred duty of my older sister and 7-year-old me to traipse around Greater Boston singing the song to all of our relatives so that they would be able to hear the band music. Woo. Two.
Whoa.
Love the new question on which sports figure, living or dead, would you like to see? I had the moment in real life, as in the 1960s, I saw the Red Sox beat the Yankees at Fenway Park. I was in the left field grandstand when a blooper to left field fell between the left fielder, Yogi Berra, the shortstop, Tom Tresh, and the right fielder, Mickey Mantle, scoring the Sox winning run. Good times. Rick, 252, Franzosa, Cincinnati.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really good.
Wow.
Okay, a couple more.
Dearest Choxie, I can't say that I've watched Deal or No Deal Island, but I can say that if I had to stick my hand into a pit of snakes for a bunch of money, I'd do it without hesitation, as long as I could be guaranteed the snakes didn't think they were about to get fed and were all non-venomous. Most snake bites happen for defensive reasons or because the snakes think food is coming. Otherwise, they'd rather retreat and are hesitant to bite. I'd be curious to hear what kind of snakes were in this pit. I've learned a lot about different snake species recently because I'm considering getting one as a pet. What? You're a pet? Snake? What?
People do that, Roxy.
What? Okay, anyway.
Well, don't forget what his wife does.
Yeah, I know, but what? And to give some fun information for life about the difference between poisonous and venomous, if it bites you and you die, it's venomous. If you bite it and you die, it's poisonous. You could actually drink snake venom with no ill effect unless you have a stomach ulcer so it can get into your blood. Wait, I didn't know that.
Suddenly these chips aren't so bad, right, Roxy?
Ugh, no. I mean, still, ugh. Most poisonous snakes are actually venomous. There are a few snakes that are actually poisonous. They get that way by eating poisonous reptiles and amphibians and then sequestering their toxin in special glands as a defense against being eaten. Nature is amazing. Best, Bobby, episode 12.
Okay, so to be clear, that's exactly what these snakes were. I don't know exactly what kind they were, but they were the ones that would just prick at you enough to make you pull your hand away.
Yeah.
You know, because it hurts, you know, but it's not
going to kill you.
Right. They're not biting into you and holding on to you or anything like that.
They're not.
They were just like
eat.
Snipping at you.
Yeah.
You know,
like, get out of my house.
Yeah. Like you said, they
get off my lawn.
They were protecting whatever. That's all they were doing.
Come on, man. What are we doing out here, man?
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Chuck, listening to you use baseball greats as a way to determine where to go back in time made me wonder what was the game with the most Hall of Famers in it. A little Googling led me to a game on May 24th, 1928, between the Philadelphia A's and the New York Yankees, which had 15 players who later were named to the Hall of Fame participate. Now, think about that. There's 18, you know. I mean, there might have been subs and stuff, but wow, that's amazing. For the Yankees, players included Earl Combs, Leo Durocher, elected for his managing exploits, not as a player, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Tony Lazira, Wade Hoyt, plus manager Miller Huggins. For the Athletics, Ty Cobb. I didn't know Ty Cobb played for the Athletics. I thought he played for Detroit his whole career. Tris Speaker, Mickey Cotrane, Al Simmons, Eddie Collins, Jimmy Fox, Lefty Grove, plus manager Connie Mack. The Yankees had two pitchers who didn't play, Herb Pengok and Stan Kulvesky, and umpire Tom Connolly was also elected to the Hall of Fame. If you're a kid who got autographs on your program that day from all those guys, it would be worth a ton today. That's amazing. Don Hammack, episode 68, Biloxi, Mississippi. I haven't heard from Don in a while. That's amazing. Now, I don't know if that's where I would go because I'd want to see certain players.
Yeah,
but no,
right.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, that's a good stat.
Yeah.
Okay, one more from you.
Yes. Hi, Choxie. On a cruise for my 25th anniversary, the woman I am related to by marriage for 25 years is tanning, so I snuck off to have a cigar and try and catch up on podcasts. After the big show, you all were my next listen. Just heard you talking about La La Land and musicals. I have never been a musicals guy, but I saw the Chicago musical and it blew me away. And my daughter being Roxy, I liked Renee Zellweger as Roxy, even though they misspelled her name, LOL. But John C. Reilly singing Mr. Cellophane was inspired. Then, years later, my wife took me to see The Greatest Showman. I had no idea it was a musical and was bummed at first, but ended up loving it, so I guess I am a musicals fan now. Question I wanted to ask you, Chuck. You may have already discussed this in an earlier pod before I started listening, but what do you think of Whiplash being a drummer? I think of you. Chuck Walsh, episode 290.
Well, I was late to the party on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We both were. We watched it together,
yeah,
I think.
But I didn't know you had never seen it.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So he, J.K. Simmons, obviously I'm a huge fan. Now, he came to see my show off-Broadway here twice.
Yes.
Not once, not twice. He knew one of the actors in it, and they had worked together. So he was coming to support him, not to see our show.
Right.
Essentially. But that was the one time I was a little taken back because, you know, I'm usually really cool about these things. I regret this to this day. I had a drumstick in my office, and I wanted him to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't because I, you know, they come to have a night at the theater, they don't want to be hounded by people,
right.
You know? But I did go up to him to meet him, and I said, I just need to tell you, your Oscar speech moved me so that I did exactly what you said.
Yeah.
So, Littles, if you haven't seen his Oscar speech, do yourself a favor. It's on YouTube. Go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. And basically saying nothing's more important. Call your parents.
Yeah.
Stop everything. Call your parents. So at that moment, I stopped the Oscars. I paused the Oscars. I DVR'd it. And I called my dad because
yeah.
my mom had already gone by
sure.
then.
I but did. Yeah, you liked that movie.
I did. I liked the movie. It's intense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
No, overall, as a movie, I'm not saying I agreed with his methods, but, you know, I did like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
So. All right. Last one. Dear Choxie, Ruth's last season with the Yankees was 1934. So this is basically clean up on aisle Chuck.
Okay.
That's what this is all about. DiMaggio's first game was 1938. Gehrig overlapped both and won at least three titles with DiMaggio, and while the Yankees won in 1939, Gehrig was not actively playing. Gehrig obviously won titles with Ruth as well. Mantle didn't come around until 1951, which was DiMaggio's final season. They won the World Series. Maris didn't join the Yankees until 1960. He and Mantle won the series in 1961 and 1962. So, you can Ruth Gehrig in their heyday, or you can Gehrig and DiMaggio in their heyday, or you can get broken down DiMaggio and a rookie Mantle, or you get Mantle Maris when they hit 100 bombs between the two of them. I bet you never saw someone use the term heyday twice in one train of thought.
That's a lot of math.
As luck would have it, I saw my father-in-law yesterday. I asked him and my mother-in-law separately about whether he was safe or out at the plate.
Ooh.
My father-in-law said, quote, I was out all right, knocked out, with no further explanation. I asked my mother-in-law, and she responded, quote, have you seen his teeth? He was definitely knocked out. As far as the game, I don't know. I don't think they were very accurate with their scoring. They were all drunk. That's what she said.
Okay.
So there you have it. Mystery solved. No one knows. And no one seems to care.
Mystery not solved. But
luckily,
okay.
I know of at least two of his teammates, and I will have the answer for you someday.
Ooh.
I will not give up. My suspicion is he was out.
Yeah.
Unless he was on the plate when the ball hit him in the face.
Right.
Now I'm thinking he was safe. He then goes on and says, I don't recall a bowling update or B, a softball update. What's up with that? Episode 178, ABTAHS. We will not do better next time. I can't tell you why.
Okay.
Oh, little
mystery.
Hint. We might do better the next time.
We might.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. All right. Let's get to that,
okay.
Shall we? Okay.
Yes.
So the reason there was no softball, let's go backwards.
Yeah.
The reason there was no softball segment is we have not played a game yet.
No, both of them got rained out.
2 weeks
out.
Well, they weren't rained. The fields were open. This, don't grind my gears with this.
Yeah.
The fields were open. The
we
commissioner did not want to play.
He wouldn't let us play.
Now, the first week, I got it. It's a preseason, doesn't count. So
I know. I feel bad because we told all the Littles that episode.
Yeah,
we
said,
dropped,
oh, we're on our way to the field.
Our way,
yeah, and then we,
no game.
As soon as we got done recording, the thing went out saying games are canceled.
Yep.
Now, we went down that day because the fields were open to practice.
Yeah.
And
it did rain a little bit.
It did a mist.
It was
but
a little gross.
It wasn't. And again, that was the preseason week, so I sort of got it. This, however, the following week.
I got beat up.
This last week, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a little chilly out,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. So we haven't played a game yet. So
no.
Hopefully this Thursday, we were supposed to play Aladdin last week, so we didn't. So now they're just getting rid of those games. This week, I forget who we played. Do we play, we play Second Stage, I think. It's
oh,
a theater
okay.
company here in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's that. Bowling update. Roxy didn't go last week.
I didn't
go. Roxy had to get up early on Friday. So
yeah.
we told her to say, Chuck, did... pretty well. I rolled a Brandon Costello in the first
Ooh.
Game and a David Liu in the second game.
Ooh.
Both, yeah, not too bad, not too bad. So in lieu of you, though, Roxy, I was able to get Ritz's scores.
Okay.
He rolled a Michael Sands in game one.
Whoa.
He had a ham bone. Do you know what a ham bone is?
No.
That's four strikes in a row.
That's what that's
yes.
called.
And then he had a Sean Flegel in the second game, which
wow.
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not so great, but... no, that Michael Sands. I would love to get
yeah.
a Michael Sands. Although, you know, you get a Michael Sands and you're like, you're so close to a Rick Devens at that point
yeah,
that
right.
you're like, oh, that's going to kill you. You
yep.
know, if you just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he said he kind of choked, text me on the outside, and he said I should have had, he should have had a Rick Devens at least.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyway.
All right.
But that's the only update we got. This is the last week. This Thursday is the last week of scoring bowling.
Yes.
And we actually roll against Ritz's team.
We do.
So it's a position week.
That'll be
so
fun.
It's playoffs. And we actually got matched up against Ritz's team. So yeah. That's going to be fun. So we're looking forward. I don't think one of we might be going for third. It's a long shot. It's a long shot. We would have to mop them up.
You know what I'm going for, Chuck?
You're going for fun.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, the listeners want to know. It's a bowling segment, Roxy.
Yeah,
you have to
I
tell
know.
Them what place we're in and stuff.
I find when I go for fun, I do better.
Okay.
Than
good.
If I go to try to mess around, mess around like getting a good score.
Right. Yeah.
Then I don't get a good score.
I get it. Well, that's all the time we have, Roxy. Let's get out of here. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
And remember, please give us a nice rate and review over on Apple and iTunes if that's where you choose to listen to your podcast. We'd really appreciate it, and it does really help.
Mm-hmm.
And Roxy, if they need a book,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
Don't forget, go to aaronsbooks.com. Check out in the comment section. The one thing you don't want to do is
don't forget to
use the code. People!
Bye!
Wait, Cal's not out there.
Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
And Peppa!
Oh, yeah.